Welcome to International Dispute Negotiation, your guide to resolving disputes everywhere.
This is Mike McElrath, and this podcast is about different ways of accepting and managing the risks of dispute resolution, presenting them through the eyes of experts from different countries and backgrounds.
One arbitrator, as opposed to three.
Yes, I think that it's always something that parties should consider, particularly in light of the increasing concern over time and cost.
That was Jennifer Kirby, former Deputy Secretary General of the International Chamber of Commerce's Court of Arbitration, from the last episode of IDN, given her observations based on reviewing thousands of ICC arbitration cases over the years. I asked some of my colleagues, international transactions lawyers, how often the number of arbitrators comes up in their negotiations of dispute clauses.
What are the key points of a dispute resolution clause that you negotiate most often?
Rules and site.
So rules in place of arbitration?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, the same.
What about the number of arbitrators?
No, never.
Wait a second. Despite having an impact on the time, cost, and quality of an arbitration, the number of arbitrators doesn't even come up in negotiations?
It has never been a difficult point, no.
In the thousands of contracts you've negotiated?
Never.
It's, you know, whatever the other party proposed, if it's three arbitrators, one arbitrator, that really never is a point of contention. No.
I checked with two other colleagues who are also experienced contract negotiators for the sake of consistency.
Honestly, it's not often that we discuss. Not quite often.
I would say this is not a difficult point.
Also for me.
Time to revisit conventional wisdom about arbitration. In the last episode of IDN, Jennifer Kirby summarized her recent article, "With Arbitrators, Less Can Be More," questioning the common assumptions that lead parties to designate three arbitrators, such as a view that having my arbitrator or our arbitrator in the game can add value by ensuring that that party's position is adequately represented.
Remember, there was one experienced arbitrator who said once that when he notices that one of his co-arbitrators is really there to be an advocate for the party that nominated him, he refers to that arbitrator as the wine arbitrator. That is, this is the arbitrator that can select the wine that the arbitrators will have with their dinner, but his influence stops there.
Well, I thought the arbitrator was going to whine because he or she didn't agree with the direction the tribunal was taking.
No H in this wine.
Having addressed in the last episode with Jennifer that adding two arbitrators often adds more problems and cost than value, this week we conclude that discussion with arguments designed to convince parties and counterparties why it makes sense to dispense with those party-appointed arbitrators for most disputes.
I think the time and cost that can be saved when having a sole arbitrator as opposed to three is something that should really be taken heavily into consideration when having that discussion. And of course, it's not just the additional cost of having three people as opposed to one person. It's the cost of deliberations. It's the cost of scheduling changes.
Well, it's a cost even of the appointing process. If you just think the time it takes to appoint three people, you can go months. What about quality? Do you think you can make a pitch to parties that you might even have better quality of process with one versus three?
I think in terms of quality, what I would say is it's more an issue of, you know, that it's highly questionable as to whether there would actually be any increased quality. But a sole arbitrator can be more reactive on points of procedure and even perhaps in terms of producing awards because there are no deliberations, so he can move more quickly. It is true also that having three arbitrators does open the door to compromise decisions.
All right, so you're in the negotiation. You've given, you know, you've thrown your points at the other party. You said, look, time and cost, it would be better to have one. I know it's a big contract. The dispute's maybe $50 million, $100 million, but three arbitrators ain't going to make a huge amount of difference. We could save ourselves some time and money. Quality, we maybe get quicker decisions on procedure, less risk of somebody foot dragging the process, lower risk of a compromised decision. But the other party just doesn't buy it. They say, look, you know, we've always done three arbitrators. We want three arbitrators. Give me my three arbitrators. I want my arbitrator in the process. Yeah, what other options might you have in this case?
I think as a fallback, I would say at a minimum, try to get a clause that at least provides for one or three rather than locking the contract into three.
Not that you're promoting the ICC standard clause here, which happens to say happens one or three.
I think a number of clauses from various institutions do use that formulation, and I think it's because the institutions over the years have seen so many cases where the parties in their clause will provide for three arbitrators, but then the dispute that actually arises is nowhere near the magnitude to justify having three arbitrators. And those cases can become really economically absurd, where actually you're having to pay more to the arbitral tribunal than is actually at stake in the case, these types of situations. So having a clause that will at least allow the parties at the time to, once the dispute arises, to agree on the number, or failing that, allowing the institution to decide whether the case should go to one or three, is I think, a legitimate fallback position.
Right, and the institution's rules or suggested model clause don't have to specifically say one or three. Parties can always draft that into their contract or provide for some provision in which, at the time of a dispute arising, a certain number, the number of arbitrators shall be decided by an institution, by an appointing authority, or according to a certain procedure.
Sure, of course.
You tried. These are all good arguments, but I'm the other side. I'm still not buying it. I appreciate that you've got years of experience seeing these. You haven't seen any real advantages to three arbitrators overall. But, you know, management here would just be a lot more comfortable if we had three arbitrators. What is there any further fallback you can advise in that case? Or we just give in and say, all right, take your three arbitrators because I want to do the contract?
I mean, if the focus is just to have three arbitrators,
I want three.
Then, you know, it's possible, I think, to make the arbitral tribunal function better with three arbitrators if those three arbitrators are, for example, nominated by the institution or through some sort of modified list procedure that allows the parties to influence the constitution of the arbitral tribunal, but still avoids having party-appointed arbitrators. But the thing is that usually, I mean, to some extent, we come back to where we started, which is that a party that says, I want three, it's usually not just to have three people. It's because they want their arbitrator.
Yeah, they're not enamored of the number three.
I mean, there are very few times where I saw clauses or where I saw parties subsequently agree to have three arbitrators selected in a way that did not involve having party-nominated co-arbitrators.
Yeah, so when parties are saying three, what they really mean is
mine.
I want mine. Yeah.
Yeah.
Why don't we just quickly summarize some of the points that we've covered here in terms of the overall experience you've had from the ICC and the arbitrations you've supervised and the awards rendered, as well as your acting in private practice now for, 2 years at Herbert Smith?
Right.
Right. Okay. And that is that you'd have no hesitation to recommend the clients today to contracts of any size that they ought to seriously consider one arbitrator as opposed to three.
Yes, I think that it's always something that parties should consider, particularly in light of the increasing concern over time and cost.
And you would even encourage, you've given them the weapons to go out and to negotiate one versus three, make the arguments with time and cost, and cite some of the examples in your article about how proceedings come in. And when we talk about cost, it's not just the cost of one arbitrator being less than three, which is one third of usually the overall cost, but the cost of the total process. If it goes more quickly, the process ought to cost less. quality that one arbitrator may, certainly is not going to be any worse than what you're going to get on average from three arbitrators, and may even be able to add some improvements in terms of decisiveness of decisions on procedural points, rapidity of responses to issues that get raised, and a decision ultimately that's unlikely to be a compromise and may come back quickly and not have the problems of a dissenting opinion or an arbitrator terrorist taking shots and a couple of default positions. One of which is the suggestion to include one or three arbitrators in the contract clause. So if you can't get one, I guess the advice is try to get one or three and face that or cross that bridge when you get to it. I guess that would be cross the bridge on the number when you get there.
And once you actually know what bridge it is that you're crossing.
Which is a great point. And that is one of the, you know, when people ask me about some of these contract clauses, you know, what do we prefer? What do we want? You know, it's very hard to know. And this is actually one of the problems of drafting dispute resolution clauses. You don't know what kind of dispute you're going to have that might arise. You don't know, you know, who's, what, you know, which way the arrow is going to point and what part of the contract might be called into breach.
It would be a very unusual circumstance that I would recommend to a client to lock the contract into three.
You've been listening to International Dispute Negotiation. This podcast is presented by the International Institute for Conflict Prevention and Resolution, CPR. CPR is a membership-based nonprofit organization that promotes excellence and innovation in public and private dispute resolution, providing an international resource for the avoidance, management, and resolution of business disputes. For further information about CPR, or to download archived versions of this podcast, go to www.cpradr.org. Questions about this podcast, or the issues discussed, can be addressed to idn@cpradr.org. The music of Note Noir is used with permission.